Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. I have a brand new face, maybe familiar to some of you, but I am so excited to bring David onto the show. Talk about an educator doing amazing things, currently living outside of the U.S. in Mexico. So you know I'm overly excited because I love challenging different interviews to talk to different friends from all over the world. So huge shout out there. Make sure you grab your coffee and we'll be right back as we dive into the show. All right. Hey, everyone. Good morning. We have David with us. David, how you feeling?
You know, it's a beautiful morning here. So thank you very much. Thank you, Ray, for having me. It's brilliant to be here. And I'm, you know, happy to share a little bit of my life story, some tips and tricks for teachers and so forth. So, you know, really excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh my God, I'm so glad that you took the invite and decided to come on the show. I know you've been in the Teach Better family for a while, been participating in a few different aspects, but it's so nice to be able to bring someone on screen, see them in person, hear their story. And I know you have a lot of strategies to share. So I really, really appreciate it. Before we get too far into our conversation, would you mind telling our community, like, who are you? What do you do in education? Kind of give us that background. What do you do?
Yeah, sure thing. So my name is David A. Pena, A is for Arthur. So I'm originally from New Jersey, USA. Been living, you know, born and raised there many years. Couple years back, came to Mexico for vacation with family. And then we ended up falling in love with the place. So we decided just to move here for a while now. So I've been here around 10 plus years. So as far as education, well, as a young teenager, I would, even before that, I was always into computers and science, programming, that kind of stuff. So I basically, you know, did that a huge portion of my life so far, everything that had to do with IT, that kind of stuff. When I arrived to Mexico and was looking for a job, I landed a couple of jobs here and there. But the main one, the one that actually pivoted me to where I am today, is there was an application for being an English teacher. Now, mind you, I mean, obviously I do speak English as an American and so forth, but I never taught it. I mean, I would always go to math, science, STEAM, computer. So I never really took time to learn specific rules of grammar and so forth. And I was trying to
Sorry to interrupt you, David, but I just want you to know, I empathize with that wholeheartedly. I know our community will as well. There is such a different dynamic of speaking a language and teaching it. You definitely don't want me teaching grammar rules. That would be terrible.
And that's, that's what happened to me as well. I mean, I would say to myself, no, I do speak English. I can tell you maybe how to pronounce this and that, but don't ask me to teach you. Don't ask me to give you classes and that stuff. I can give you computer classes or something else, but don't ask me to give you that. But it was basically, one of the jobs that was still open and I couldn't land a job because there weren't that many tech jobs. I mean, there are now, but there weren't that many tech jobs open where I'm located at the moment, back in that time. So my father, wise man, I admire a lot tremendously. And, he pushed me out of the comfort zone. He said, well, try something that you're not familiar with, get out of the comfort zone, because if you take the path of least resistance, you're not going to go anywhere, son. So, try something that you haven't tried before. And if you truly, truly, are just a mess at it, if you can't complete anything, if you're a total wreck, then, leave, go to something else. But don't give up until you haven't even, tried it yet. So that's what I did. I, took the teacher training boot camp. That basically the application said if you pass, this particular English grammar boot camp for teachers, we guarantee you a spot here on the teacher roster for you to, start giving classes immediately. So you have a guaranteed job position. So I said, well, it sounds interesting. I mean, they're going to train me. I'm going to have a job afterwards and so forth. So, fast forward, I was almost about to being kicked out because I just had to learn so much of grammar and a lot of things in 15 days approximately. And it was like intense 6-8 hours per day of that. And I had never exposed myself to that much grammar. So I was almost, kicked out of the program.
Thank God bombed.
I actually did. Yeah. You know, I did pass at the very end. I did a lot of, training myself also on YouTube, looking a lot of videos, like having this person explain it one way, this other person explain it that way. And, that's how basically I just had to, drink from a water hose, basically.
Man, and I bet there would be a lot of English teachers in the comments who are like, yes, there's a strategy I learned when I was teaching this, 15 years ago, and I use it every time because it helps just, the students retain the information. You always need to look for those tricks.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And, I always put myself, or I remember myself when I was in that position where, if I, went from zero to 100 to being, an English teacher and so forth, other students can also do it. And I would just remember those early days and, what I had to do, what went wrong, what went right, what sort of things I could have changed, how I could have, taught myself something a little bit better, right? And just, have that in mind so that when I have a new fresh student, I know, how to engage him or her in a better way.
Yeah, go figure. One challenge that your father gave you ended up leading you to a career in education. Now you've been working in education for years and years, and not only in speaking English, obviously grammar and all the things that come with being an English teacher, but you being able to utilize your passion for technology, I'm sure also became a part of what you enjoyed bringing to students.
Of course, definitely. I mean, as I stated before, I never saw myself in the educational realm. I always saw myself like working in IT, cybersecurity, Google, something like that. I always thought I would be working with them. But this particular moment in life just, pivoted me to becoming an educator. And I started basically as an English language art, teacher or an ESL, EFL teacher. From that, I just, went on to study a bachelor's in pedagogy. From then I went on to a master's in English language communication with a minor in hybrid teaching, virtual, presential, all that kind of stuff, distance learning. That was my minor. So I really fell in love with it. I fell in love with being a teacher.
I'm so excited to dive into your expertise because, with the vast experience that you've had, and then also obviously the degrees, the certifications you pursued to better how you could support students. I know we're going to get into that in our team talk. So for all of you kind of waiting at the edges of your seat, I promise we're getting there. The other thing, David, I have to know, and I know we have no prep for this question, but I've been dying ever since we talked initially to ask you. You literally went to Mexico on a vacation and moved there. And now live a very happy, successful life in a country that you weren't originally living in. We have so many team members and members of our community who that would be like a dream, but it would be so spooky to like love. I mean, for me, I've always been in Illinois. I've kind of traveled around the state, but there's so many places that I know that if I moved there and pulled the trigger, whether they be in the US or outside the US, like, gosh, take me to Europe, take me to Mexico, take me to Brazil, take me to Canada. There's so many places I love. What was that transition like? And do you have any strategies for teachers that maybe want to push themselves to explore or relocate a little bit?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I guess I would say this, to be honest, a lot of the times, I'll be very direct, just get rid of stereotypes because that happened to me. I'm not someone who has particular stereotypes. I don't like them, don't use them. But, when I was younger, I would have like some sort of a feeling or, an idea of what a place could be. And it was actually that was my mistake. I was, misinformed. I really didn't do much research and I let stereotypes kind of invade my ideology or my thought of something, which as an educator, I've learned never to do again. So, there are a lot of things about here. Well, I can speak for Mexico. I really can't speak for any other country much, but for this one in particular, I can. So, you know, this has also been happening ever since COVID. A lot of people have been migrating. They continue to, I mean, if they can, they continue to work remotely and go to Mexico where they can have a, you know, let's call it maybe a better lifestyle in regards to like finances, where they can convert, you know, from their dollars to pesos and, you know, stretch out a lot of their income and so forth.
Can we just note the awesome food, the weather, the beach? Sure. I mean, like all those things too.
Of course. I mean, there are a lot of things, you know, food is quite wonderful. It's a lot of, you know, if you're vegetarian or if you just like eating fruits and vegetables, that's going to be, you know, brilliant here. You know, it's growing, it's evolving. You know, we definitely, for example, a lot of the things that you might find in the US, you can also find them here. Some will gradually become more popular. For example, you know, gluten-free food, you can find it here in Mexico as well. Sometimes it's a little bit harder to find, but you definitely can. You know, it's wonderful weather. It doesn't really snow a lot, depending where you're coming from. So I'm from the East Coast, you're from Illinois. We do get snow, sometimes some snowstorms, but that's quite rare here. So if you're someone that likes sunny days and so forth, it's a good choice. So I would say, you know, do your proper research, see where you want to go. You know, Mexico City isn't representing all of Mexico. Same thing, New York doesn't represent the whole US. So those things to have in mind. And
I love the open mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the reminder to get rid of our stereotypes, our biases, like really take on getting to know any community, any ethnicity, any, we talk about that with religion. I mean, this is such a beautiful open space in the Teach Better family that we are constantly trying to reflect and evolve. And I think that's a beautiful reminder on this morning as we kind of head into our educational conversation is, do I have any bias or stereotypes just as I walk into my day that I can be better in being a learner versus making quick judgments? And gosh, I know sometimes my stereotypes cause me to want to go places, and maybe that's a positive of that. But I mean, still good to walk around and be open-minded, because I can only imagine all the places I haven't yet explored around the world and the different things I can learn. So thank you for that piece of insight. We're going to transition here into our team talk and get into David's expertise in tech and teaching and everything else. With us, which our Teach Better Today morning show, we have David with us, who's an incredible educator, and we are about to dive into some of the tips and tricks that he wishes to share with our network. David, our whole goal for our team talk is to just leave our educators prepared and feeling ready to take on the day ahead. I know you have a lot to share, but I'd love to start off our conversation maybe with an idea or a concept, maybe a way of thinking that our educators can take with them throughout the day to be better in their field, whether it has to do with technology or just working with students holistically. What do you feel like is your soapbox favorite topic to dive into?
All right. So I would quickly say that if we can connect whatever the learning is, whether it be, you know, English language arts, STEM, math, science, art, whatever it is, just ground it to reality as much as possible. And by what I mean by that is, you know, you want to connect it to the real world, right? For example, and I think, you know, many English language teachers or, you know, people who teach another language might agree. When you teach someone, for example, language, if you can connect that to real life scenarios, that would be very useful. That is actually quite useful for the student, whoever it is, no matter if it's, you know, someone below the age of 10, above 10, an adult, doesn't really matter. I've seen this actually work a lot, where if you can connect it to something that is happening right now or something, you know, in real life, they understand it better and they engage it better. An example I would place is there's a memorable moment where I was having a class and I decided, well, we're going to talk about, you know, tourism in the Everest alongside, you know, Jurens. So if, you know, what I basically did was combine the two, And as long as I was teaching them about gerunds, how to use them, with certain phrases and prepositions, so forth, they were also learning about, you know, some of the things that happened at Mount Everest. And to be honest, that lesson was not, you know, wasn't really cherry picking. I would say we would just, you know, a lot of things we also maybe are not mentioned is the fact that there is also pollution in Mount Everest, you know, from a lot of tourism and climbing. You would think that maybe Mount Everest is a nice, clean place, but to be honest, there's actually a lot of garbage up there as well. And not a lot of people, you know, go back. I mean, some people do a good job of not, you know, polluting the mountain, but not everybody does that, sadly. So there are a lot of things that, you know, people leave behind and stay there. And, you know, people really don't go back for their trash because, you know, it could be dangerous, doesn't really matter to them, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, students were amazed because they thought, well, you know, this is like a Nat Geo lesson, you know, like this is something interesting. I didn't know about this topic before, but, you know, it's memorable to me. You know, it made an impact, made me, you know, think of when I go hiking, if I do the same thing, you know, is that something I can improve of myself? And I'm learning, you know, how to use gerunds, you know, in this scenario as well as in others. So I wasn't really teaching something fictitious, like some made up story. No, I actually said, you know, we're going to study gerunds. We're also going to study, you know, something that's going on right now in the real world. We're going to connect the two. You're going to have fun. You're going to have a great time learning about these things and hopefully, you know, inspire you to make a positive change.
I love this example, David. I think that is such a insightful and in like essential way to look at education. And, you know, so many of us, as we were joking earlier this morning, when we think about teaching grammar, we're like, ugh, all these sentences that we're kind of pulling out of thin air and trying to incorporate the grammar rules into it or certain language nuances into it. I love that you're bringing in real world teaching to simply enhance the grammar rules that you are actually giving a focus to instructing your students with. And I love that they can not only be reflective of their practice of the content related back to the standard, but also be reflective of themselves as human beings, supporting the planet, getting to know historical, you know, places around the world and the history of certain locations that they may never be have an opportunity to go explore themselves. So what a beautiful example. I'm excited to hear from our community, maybe what other examples they've done in other content areas to bring in the real world, because the real world is really going to allow our students to see the purpose and the intention behind their content.
Yes, you know, that's totally, you know, what we're, you know, doing over here. And, you know, helping other teachers also migrate out of that thought that, you know, they sometimes, I mean, not all the textbooks that out there are really bad. No, I'm not saying that. But there has to be some kind of revision. There has to be an update. And, you know, there are particular textbooks that really do a good job of this in combining both elements. There are textbooks that just sadly focus too much on the grammar. They connect it to fictional stories or, you know, something that isn't really relevant. And as we know, it just, you know, slips through the student's mind and makes no impact at all.
So David, I have to ask a dumb question because I know I always love to ask the really, really silly questions that maybe only one other person listening has. But, you know, I can only assume with all the insight that you've been able to collect in your life, you might be or you may not be an expert in Mount Everest. I can only assume that that's not something that you first off have a huge amount of understanding of. You probably had to look into that concept and research it a bit so that you could bring it to your students. I think sometimes that's intimidating for teachers when we have to go learn something in addition to the content. How do we do that? How do we make it effective and efficient so that we don't spend all of our time having to like learn about something else to be able to teach what we have to teach? So how did you make that process doable for you that you went out and found a really, really engaging topic they may not have known a lot about prior and then brought that into the classroom?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's actually not dumb. It's a very good question. And the answer is as follows. As educators, as adults and so forth, I mean, some of us could be single, some, you know, are husbands or wives, you know, your moms and dads. So, you know, it's not as easy as, you know, maybe when you were 17 or something. I mean, the amount of free time, you know, sometimes is reduced when you're an adult. So that's perfectly understandable. One of the things that I have done, or actually a couple of things I do, is as you mentioned, yes, it is important to do research because you don't want to pull facts out of your mind, and actually not even facts. It's just like, you know, suppositions, and then put them or state them as facts. That's actually wrong and dangerous. So in order to avoid that and to actually have a very, you know, committed view and organic lesson here, you want to research as much as possible, like you mentioned. What I do is I, you know, while I'm cooking or washing dishes, I'm, you know, looking at YouTube videos that explain upon the topic, and I can listen to them or watch them while I'm doing this other activity. I also go ahead and dive into podcasts, you know, episodes, anything that I can find my hands on that is relevant, that has information that I know is safe to share and is, you know, veracious, I would say, you know, truthful information. So, you know, I basically do that, and it doesn't really require me to be sitting down or to have like my eyes focused on it 100%. So that way I can do maybe two or three things at once. I would maybe just say two things at once. And that's how I would, you know, reduce the amount of time I have to sit down in front of my computer and just like study the thing. So if I can, you know, listen to it, study it while I'm washing dishes or something like that, you know, cooking or cleaning something particular, maybe cleaning my Google Drive, you know, that's how I can do, you know, more in same
time. Yeah, I love the suggestion of multitasking and using a different media versus maybe forcing yourself to read articles over and over. I love the concept of looking up something on YouTube and seeing if you can find somebody who already has some content to share. I think that's such great insight to remind ourselves that during the downtime that we have, can we be multitasking to have a little bit more wealth of knowledge and bring that into our lesson planning? What a beautiful suggestion. I love podcasts, but I love the note about YouTube. That's a great, great, great place to go. The second largest search engine in the world right now. So let's make sure we're utilizing it to be learners. David, you've provided so much insight. I'm so sad that we're out of time, because truly, I think that you have an incredible amount to share with educators. I want to make sure they connect with you, because while I know you're in the Teach Better community, if they haven't yet friended you on Facebook or followed you on social media, I definitely want our community to do that here so we can keep the conversation going. Do you mind sharing how people can stay connected?
Yeah, let me take a look. So, well, give me just a second. Well, if anyone wants to like send me an email, they, you know, they can pretty much do that. I'll, you know, put it here in our, in the chat we have available. All right.
Wonderful.
So it's, write that. All right. So the email address is info.ulango@gmail.com. Ulango is a startup company that I have, Ulango Learning. That's actually the full name, where we basically teach, you know, different schools, universities, you know, how to use tech, because I'm a Google educator myself as well, Canvassador. We're with all these wonderful ed tech companies. And, you know, that's what we do, and help out other, you know, learning communities here in Mexico, you know, dive into all these technologies, help them use Google Workspace for education, all these wonderful things. So people can reach me out there. If someone just wants to maybe just chat with me on Facebook, they can just look for my name. It's the same one at the bottom, David A. Pena. I'm just going to see like a little Bitmoji profile picture there. Someone like in blue coming out of a laptop. So that's me.
I love it. Yeah, it's, you know, so perfect.
Email me, or, you know, you can look me up on Facebook as well.
Wonderful. And friends, of course, if you ever have any issue connecting with a guest or struggle maybe remembering that email address, you have to rewind and re-listen to this to make sure you get it, just direct message me. I will absolutely connect you to David. He's a wonderful, wonderful member of our Teach Better family, and I will do anything to make sure that that's an easy process for you guys so you can connect. David, thank you so much for joining the show. This was such a wonderful way for us to start our morning, and I want to wish everyone in our community just an incredible day ahead. As a reminder, our Teach Better Today morning show does wrap up this week. We'll have our last show on Friday the 22nd, and then we'll be back for January. So make sure to stick with us. And if you haven't been able to watch every episode, you can go binge everything over on our YouTube channel. We'll see you later, guys.
All right, thanks.
Hey, Teach Better community, thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.